But I guess one of the things that I always struggle with is how happy is it for those who have lost loved ones? I can't even imagine what parents go through whenever their children don't come back. I can't imagine what children go through when a parent doesn't come back. You just don't really know. It just seems kind of, to be honest with you, hypocritical for me to say Happy Memorial Day, because really it's a very somber occasion. I think it's okay while we have these days off, you know, from work, that we can get together with family. If you have family around, you can get together with friends. You can have a barbecue and so forth. All that's fine. But let's never forget what that day is truly about. And let us never make it just all about ball games and barbecues. But I would also say, too, that we had the same opportunity every Sunday. Every Sunday we have an opportunity to give praise to the one who gave everything for us. One who sacrificed himself, not that just we would have physical freedom, but that we would have spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin. This is a place that I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be today, to memorialize and to remember my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope you can say that as well. If you have your Bibles this morning, we invite your attention to the book of Luke. Luke in chapter 17. Luke in chapter 17. God willing, this morning we're going to be preaching on the subject of remember Lot's wife. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 28. We'll read on down through verse 32. Now, there's a lot of things for us to consider today as we look at this and consider even what's being said here, look at some of the context. Understand, Luke 17:32. If I'm not mistaken, is the second shortest verse in the Bible. Of course, the shortest verse is when Jesus wept. It simply reads, "Remember Lot's wife." This verse, while short, is solemn in its content. It reminds us to remember a lady without a name. It reminds us of a person that while she had every opportunity imaginable, she did not take advantage of this opportunity. She was one that was warned by God to flee the destruction to come, and yet she didn't take advantage of said opportunity. Rather, she did exactly what she wasn't supposed to do. She looked back. I want you to understand, folks, she looked back. I want to ask you a question, and I know Brother Fayard preached last week about putting one's hand to the plow, and one who looks back is not worthy to be his disciple, and certainly there's some things that are true and that'll go along with this, but tonight, folks, or this morning, folks, I want us to consider what happened here. What's going on? How that this can be a distraction, how we can be distracted if we're not careful. Look with me, please, in Luke 17:28. The Bible says, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sowed, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff is in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. If you look in the book of Genesis in chapter 19, Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 through 26. This is after the angel of the Lord had came and had warned Lot and his family, said, listen, you need to get out of here. God is going to destroy this place. Run! Don't look back. Get out of here. Run! So in verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I want you to notice this again. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, I want to say a few things by way of introduction. And I want us to consider this. Why did she look back? Now, I want you to think about that. Why did she look back? Well, the reason she looked back was because of her earthly attachments were still there in Sodom. Consider this in two ways. Number one, her children or their spouses. Now, you may be saying, Brother Troy, that's cruel. How in the world could you criticize anyone from looking back and thinking about their children, thinking about their children's spouses, and perhaps even their grandbabies? Have you ever thought about that? It doesn't say it, but it's very possible that Lot and his wife had grandchildren there. Now, according to my mom and dad, the best thing that ever happened to them was the grandkids. Now, I kind of take insult to that, me and my brother, but we kind of understand. We weren't the easiest, I guess. But at the same time, I can understand from the human perspective of this how tough that must have been. How hard that was, that knowing that you'd just been told a short time before that God was going to destroy all the inhabitants, all the plain, all the cities, was going to get destroyed, get out of there, and then they ran. Now, I can imagine, as she's going, that maybe Lot has a hold of her hand, and it doesn't say this, but I'm imagining this, and kind of dragging her along. And I can imagine that in her mind, she's thinking to herself, oh, my babies, they're hurting. They're in the midst of this. And then she just wants to maybe get one last glimpse. And she looks back, and she turns into a pillar of salt. I have people to ask me before, do you believe it's a literal pillar of salt? Listen, I'm a literalist. If the Bible says it, I believe it. Matter of fact, it has been said that according to some archaeological studies that they have found where they think the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah is at, they have found pillars or columns of salt. Perhaps they found Lot's wife. I don't know. But I do believe this, that God had told her not to do that. He told all of them not to do it. But still yet, they didn't listen. And as a result, what happened? You see, it doesn't matter how sentimental we might get, how we might understand from the human perspective why someone to do something, but when God says not to do it, we shouldn't do it. You ever heard anyone say this? Whenever they hear that someone has cheated on a spouse, I have, and I've heard it from people that profess Christ. Well, you really can't blame him. I mean, look how she let herself go. Oh, that just infuriates me. I don't care how bad she let herself go. I don't care how bad he's let himself go. If you made a vow to God, then you don't dump them to the side. You stick with them. Believe it or not, I've not always looked this good. And I say that jokingly, and I say it facetiously. Thanks to Tara's Home Cooking, I am not the svelte, good-looking, handsome, in shape fella I used to be. Was never really in great shape, but better shape than now. I told someone one time, I said, well, what kind of shape are you in? Oh, I'm in great shape if I'm a potato. Absolutely. And I say that jokingly, but listen, folks. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't just discard someone because they've let themselves go. Now, if someone else wants to go, you can't do nothing about it. Or you hear someone say, well, you know, I can understand why they would want to get drunk if you had to live with that. Really? I want you to understand something, folks. God says that certain things are wrong. And God told them, don't you look back. You keep looking forward. You keep your eyes fixed. I've told you where to go. Now go. I mean, those were her babies. Those were her baby spouses. And maybe even grandkids. But still yet, we need to remember and realize that those grandkids or those kids and their spouses, they've been warned. They went, told them, said, listen, God's going to destroy this place. Go with us. And they see, and he seemed as one that mocked them. Or in other words, they thought he was joking. They didn't listen. And as a result, they were destroyed. What was another reason she looked back? She looked back because her earthly possessions were still there. Clothes, house, books, anything else you can think of that maybe you'd have some attachment to besides flesh and blood. Now, I want you to think about this just for a second. We come off on Miss Lot pretty hard. Well, I can't believe she would do that. Well, why in the world would she do that when God plainly said not to do it? Understand something, folks. We're not much better. We get our eyes on anything and everything else. How easily distracted are we today? We're distracted by ball games. We're distracted by, I don't know, anything and everything you can imagine. We're distracted by our money. We're distracted by family. What happens so many times? What is one of the great excuses that people use for not being in church? What is the great excuse that people use for not serving God? Family. Ambitions. Our wants, our desires. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Brother Fayard took it from this scripture last week. The Bible says, Luke 9:57, and it came to pass that as they went this way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now what he should have said is this, Lord, I'll follow you however you want me to do, as long as it does not inconvenience me. That's more like it. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not to lay where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now that sounds like a reasonable assumption or a reasonable request, right? Whenever you hear this today, you think, okay, well, then the guy's dad must have just died. That's not it at all. This guy's dad was probably still in good health, but it was going to be a while, and he wanted to stick around and bury him. That was an excuse they used at that day. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. That could take a long time. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is worthy to be my disciple. Now, I want you to think about this today. God has called us as His people to honor Him and put Him first, right? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to honor Him and put Him first. God has called us to do this. And yet, what do we find most of the time? I'm talking about when I say we, I'm talking about me. It's all about Troy. Right? Or it's all about so-and-so. But I want this. I want that. Listen, God has not called us to a life of give me what I want. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning, and I will read just a few thoughts from this again. In Sunday school this morning, we looked at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. And like I said, I got this from someone else, and I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you I came up with all this, but it was good, and I had to share it with you. Verse 5 in chapter 2 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What was not on his mind? He was not one that murmured and disputed. He wasn't fussing, fighting, and arguing. He wasn't a malcontent. He was one that was satisfied in the will, plan, and purpose of God. But let me tell you what he did do, talking about Christ. He was the one that sacrificed and served. And that is the example He set for us, and that is what we're to do too. If we're going to have the mind of Christ, we've got to be a people that is willing to give of ourselves and to quit looking back, quit looking at our wants, our desires, and move forward for the honor and the glory of God. It is very hard sometimes, isn't it? How hard is it for you sometimes to forget about mistakes that you've made in your past? Now, let's just be honest here. How hard is that for you? Is it hard for you to forget maybe some particular thing you did and you just are ate up with regret about it? Let me tell you, if you're a child of God and you've been saved for any length of time at all, I guarantee you there's some things that bother you. You have struggles. You struggle maybe with some certain sin. Maybe you struggle with bitterness. Maybe you struggle with covetousness. Maybe you struggle with a just almost hatred at the mention of someone else's name. Maybe you struggle with selfishness. Maybe you struggle with just being a person that is all about yourself rather than everyone else. And that's even deeper than selfishness. A self-love, if you will. That's hard. And you know what? About the time you get to the place where you feel like maybe the Lord is, you're getting to a place where you're stronger, you're better, you're moving forward, then Satan will do something to remind you, right? He'll remind you of the sin that so easily besets you, or this mistake that you've done, or maybe what you've done in the past where you messed up royally. And it's all the time. You know why Satan is doing that? Satan is doing that to keep you from one of two things. Number one, if you're saved, he's doing that to keep you bogged down where you're not going to serve God. Number two, he's doing that if you're lost, to keep your eyes distracted and keep your eyes off of Christ and on yourself. But you know something else, folks? When I think of remember Lot's wife, while all these things are true that I've said, okay? I think back to the fact that what Lot's wife did is she was looking back all the time. Listen to a little bit of Brother Fayard's sermon. He's talking about people that run the 100 meter, right? Now, believe it or not, I ran a relay race one time in track. It was called the Fat Man Relay. That's what they called it. Wasn't politically correct at all. All the shot put and discus guys had to run the relay race. And everyone that ran the races through shot put and discus did all this other junk. Well, I'll never forget. Coach Bocock was his name, and he made us out there go out there and laugh, and he was laughing at us. Said, we're going to have to get the sundial out to time you guys. Y'all are slower than molasses in January. Well, anyway, we're out there practicing, and the one thing they told us was whenever the guy got to a certain place, he'd say go. And whenever he'd say go, you would take off. And then whenever he'd say reach, you wouldn't look back because that would slow you down. You'd stick your hand behind you, like this right here, and they put the baton in your hand. Then you take off. Then the next stretch, you would find this guy, you'd go and you'd hit this certain place, you'd say, go! And he'd go, man, you're just going up there. You'd say, reach! And he'd reach behind, and you'd hand it to him, bam, there he went. You see, folks, what happens if you look behind when you're running the race? It slows you down. It hinders you. Let me tell you this too, folks. As God's people, whenever we're running this race that God's called us into now, whenever we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, whenever we're serving God the way we're supposed to be doing, you know what happens if we're constantly looking back? So I remember when that happened. Well, I remember when this happened. And that's all we talk about, and that's all we focus on. You know what's going to happen? It's going to hinder us. It's going to slow us down. Let me tell you what we need. Let me tell you what Christ is telling us here. He's telling them, in the context of running from those times of trouble, don't look back. You get yourself out of there into safety. You know what he tells us? Whenever we're reading this and this application, folks, we need to quit looking back. It's time to move on. It's time to get focused upon the work of God, the will of God, and the place of God. Folks, let's get to looking ahead. We have a job to do. What's our job? Our job is to put Christ first. Our job is to reach this community. And our job is to do the plan and purpose of God. Maybe you're here today and you don't know God. You don't know Christ and the free pardon of sin. I tell you this. You have no hope outside of Christ. You need to be saved. You need to turn from yourself. You need to turn from your sin. And you need to turn to Christ and Him alone. Believing that He died on the cross for your sins. Are you a sinner? That's who He came to save, was sinners. Maybe you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, but you're out of the will of God. I tell you today, repent of that. Get your eyes focused for the Lord and move on. Maybe you're here today and you believe it's God's will for you to be a part of this work. Then I tell you today, come forward and be with us. And we'll work together for the glory of God, joining arm in arm as a church and moving forward. I want to ask you a question today, folks. Where are you at? Are you looking behind? Or you got your eyes fixed on the Savior? Folks, let's move forward for the honor and the glory of God. Let's all stand. Come and lead us in a verse of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart for any reason at all, we invite you to come.
Page number 162. Page 162, first and last stanza. Just as I